traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Do you make music for angry women?
Men are like kind of like doofuses, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
I kept getting to this point in these relationships where I was like, something is wrong. Then my therapist was like, you ever thought that maybe you're just a gay?
Coyote killed your dog.
Oh, you like my Yorkie.
Coyote killed my Pomeranian.
Are we trauma bonding? Yeah. As someone who's like really tatted, no matter what the f*** I do, I look like I beat people up. Yeah, I'm in an Afro-Cuban religion.
I've never heard of this.
It's all the same shit, honestly. Let's be for real. Christ is tight. Christians be sucking sometimes.
That's what I said. Just-
it's all about how you say it, buddy.
I'm not touching you. Disgusting mitt.
Wait, I don't think you should intro the show.
You want me to intro the show or not?
Nah. Because I think we got to address the 552-pound elephant in the room before you do that.
Sure.
Our third co-host has been turned into a can of prime energy, which I don't know how you did it, how you pulled it off with that billion-dollar brand of yours, you and JJ, but George.
Yeah, George is Blue Raspberry Prime Energy. And you know, he's doing great.
He's got 100?
10 calories.
Caffeines? How many caffeines?
200 milligrams of caffeine.
200 milligrams of caffeine.
Electrolytes, B vitamins, zero sugar.
All right, how do we tell the audience?
Tell the audience what? George's...
No, it's not going to be like an easy, quick... It's easy and quick, but you got to deliver it right because they're going to think that you're lying.
Can I say one thing?
Of course.
Without being interrupted?
I drank some Prime Energy before this.
George's birthday was 4 days ago, and he chose to celebrate it this weekend in Arizona with his family, so he couldn't make the podcast. That is a true story. I know everyone's going to think there's some sort of beef.
We can FaceTime him.
We're going to
FaceTime him. And while you do that, I want to say this. I am completely cool with that. George, one of the things that I love about George is that he prioritizes his family and friends over anything.
Yep.
He
puts work,
and God and everything above everything. So I'm not mad. It's George's birthday, and what George wants to do on his birthday is spend time with his family and friends. He didn't want to come into Vegas. And we threw this together last minute. This wasn't really on the docket.
I mean, that's the name of the game.
Nature of the show.
Bro, we make an episode every week. There's going to be some audibles. And audibles that affect people's current schedules that sometimes are unable to be moved. And George's birthday was unable to be moved. He's born on the same day every year.
Are we scumbags for never missing a show, even though horrible things happen outside?
And absolutely, bro. We've prioritized our work
so
over
bad.
Everything. What kind of sick fuck does that?
That's why we suck.
We're the worst people ever. Can I introduce the show?
Oh, I just thought it was like...
He won't answer his FaceTime. Maybe he is actually pissed.
Well, I would be pissed too if I was fired from the show.
Oh my God. He's not fired. I turned him into a can of Blue Raspberry Prime. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one show in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. If you're not subscribed, hit that button for us. We have an amazing guest today. This girl's a legend. An absolute legend. What are you doing?
Caleb, are you going to let that slide? Did you not catch that? Am I the only one that caught that? Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one show in the world. Did you just actually?
Roll the clip. I didn't say that.
Bro!
Roll the clip. We'll cut it out.
No!
Did I say show?
Yes.
You're the audio guy.
No one else caught it? Okay, I need you to redo that. And I want to say the reason I caught that is because my current, diet regimen and discipline is so strong because of my 75 hard that I'm doing. I'm eating in this small window. I have to drink a gallon of water.
Work out twice a day.
Say what you said.
Read 10 pages of book a day.
Nonfiction every day.
Have no fun. If anyone catches Mike having fun, he has to start over his 75 days. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one show in the world. If you're not listening, watching...
The number one show in the world is The Price is Right. So if you think that we've surpassed that, then you could roll with it. But otherwise, I would prefer that you did the right intro.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. The Price is Right. If you're not, we have an amazing guest today. Her name's Kalani.
I wouldn't intro her just yet.
Wait till she's here.
Yeah.
You want to shoot the shit?
I think we have to, but now I really wish George wasn't a can of Blue Raspberry Prime.
If you're a Kehlani fan and you've clicked on this episode and you are stuck, it's the first 10 minutes of this episode and you're stuck with two fucking babbling idiots.
Hyenas.
Babbling hyenas talking about their friend being turned into an electrolyte drink.
Sorry.
What do you do? Or sorry, I guess. We started early. You know, we're feeling ourselves. So we're just gonna wait here until Kehlani shows up.
Are we gonna talk like in the meantime, or should we just?
Yeah, we could talk.
You can see it in real time, so we could address it now. But does my skin even look better? Like, Caleb, does my skin look good right now?
Absolutely.
Like, shiny and shit?
Absolutely.
That's from the water intake and the diet, too, I think. I started this on January 1st. I have been in bed, asleep, by 10 o'clock every single night.
It's
shocking. You know this. You were at my house for a good amount of the time.
Yeah. I can't believe you're doing this.
And I've been waking up at 7 in the morning just ready to go, dude.
It's disgusting. I hear pots and pans clanking around super early. I'm trying to rest in my room. sorry, your house in your room. But so, I've really made it my own. We give our room, me and Nina, give our room that you've lended us a nice touch. And that touch is
splooge everywhere.
Besides that, it looks like a bomb just went off.
Yeah, you guys are the worst. We've talked about it on the show before. You guys are terrible. Horrible house guests.
Mikey sent me a mean text. He sent me a mean text.
Oh, read it. Read out loud. Oh, it's in your other canceled phone.
No.
One. No, you screened it.
He said, Brody, I love you, but I got to say this as politely as possible. When you come and take over my house, clean your fucking shit up. I don't roll like this. You guys are a train wreck. The kitchen, the living room, there's ramen bowls spilled all over, fucking balls of dog hair all over the floor, cough syrup and everything else under the sun. It's just not going to fly anymore. You're more than welcome to be here, but you can't trash it anymore, and it's completely disrespectful, and I hate that I even have to say this shit. Now, look, I said, my bad, I didn't even notice. I'll come clean up.
You did, and he went
straight
on
me.
He did.
However, can I give one pushback? Caleb, go ahead and zoom into the shitstorm that Mike is describing.
What? No. Oh, you took a picture of it? Oh, here's the issue. So before I sent that message to you, I cleaned up the shitstorm, which is what I always do. All the ramen, all the sushi, all the shit that was all over the place. Sometimes your ass needs to be checked.
No, 100%.
And I will say this, too, because we haven't gotten a chance to address it on the show. Back when all that drama was going on, I don't know what will be going on with it now. I've been getting a ton of shit for being a dick licking cocksucker to Logan Paul.
Let me
say something, and I want you to attest to it right here and right now. Nobody
licks my cock more than
nobody gives you more shit, calls you a disrespectful cum dumpster more than me. I am on your shit 24/7 saying, yo, you gotta fucking become a human. This is the year you need to become a human. I texted you that. I said 2023 is the year you become an actual human being. And people give me so much shit. That damn Meat Canyon video with those big ass ears, bro.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, and you know what? It's so partially good. It was fantastic.
Meat Canyon
is one of the greatest animators. Shout out to Meat Canyon.
Hilarious. His animation.
I was crying. My family was messaging me like, what is this? This is hilarious. I feel like I do a great job checking you, but I think what I do is I fuck up when I sit here on the show because I try to keep things lighthearted. And so people think that I am supporting always and this and that. But I feel very good about how much I check you on the shit that you need to be checked on. And you need to be checked on a lot, bro.
A lot.
I'm mad at you today. I'm mad at you today, bro.
I'm mad at me today. I lost 15K on betting black right before I came here like a fucking idiot. I even said when the ball was spinning, I put it on red, it hit black. I said, I don't have a good feeling about this. I knew it. I'm mad at me, bro. Join the club. I'll see you in the comment section, brother. Where the fuck is Kehlani, dude?
No, she's coming. Oh, sorry. Can we?
Oh, sick. You have to get her?
Can I pop back in on this 75 hard real quick?
Yeah.
So Andy Frizzella came up with the 75 hard program. And the reason I'm doing it is not for like any specific purpose outside of the fact that a insane disciplinary plan at certain points in your life can be very beneficial to your life. And I mean, this one really is crazy. Like, this one is outside of my bounds of acceptability in terms of, like, what I actually want to fucking do every day. But there's just something about saying no to everything and being able to live by that for a certain amount of time that, one, proves to you that you can do that.
That's the biggest thing for me.
Right. You've done this type of shit.
Because you can prove to yourself that you're able to do it should you decide. Granted, I was going to ask, what actual results are you yielding real time? Because you don't actually, like, are you more productive? Surely you feel better health-wise, but, like, what's the actual
only
benefit?
To an extent, to be honest with you. Right? Because I'll explain it to you, and I want to show the pros and cons of the program. I have some, obviously, innate mental disabilities, and I generally, and maybe this is one of the reasons why you do programs like this, but I use crutches in my life, such as eating foods that I enjoy or skipping a day in the gym or whatever to make myself feel better. Mm. And so my skin is glistening right now. I mean, some of these pictures I'm taking in the gym, you're seeing them, are fucking great. Like there's real progress.
You've been looking mad good on Instagram.
I know that.
I bet these porn stars this weekend love that.
We'll move into that right now. But basically what I'm saying is, there's pros and cons to everything. You may find that those comforts in life are the things that actually... Do you want to be a disciplinarian, authoritarian, successful, leader in all aspects of life? Or do you want to be happy? Or do you want to find the balance? And I felt like I was in the balance prior to this program, and now I'm starting to lean further in this direction. And so this is going to be what I have to play with in terms of what I actually want. When you start a goal, when you start a program at the beginning of the year or any time of the year for yourself, whether it's weight loss, not drinking, not doing drugs, whatever, the why you're doing it has to be the main thing on your mind always. What is your goal? Why am I doing this to myself? Why am I putting myself through this strenuous of a program? And for me, unfortunately, in this current situation, I know Andy has a ton of ways to combat this. I don't have a specific goal. I'm not going into a fight. I'm not looking to have these crazy abs. I do fine with my dad bod. I want to be healthy, but I don't think I'm unhealthy normally. So it's...
No goal, huh? That makes it harder, I assume.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Do you know that Andy guy who created the 75 Hard program you're on?
Sure.
He was the guy who gave me the fake Lambo for my brother's birthday prank. It was his Lambo. When my brother gave me the Lamborghini and promised me,
right,
it was the best birthday gift I'd ever received. I told him, I said, this is the happiest day of my life. I cried tears of joy. My brother gave me a Lamborghini. All of a sudden, this fucking Andy guy comes up and he goes, hey, bro, can I get the keys to my car back? And then Jake said, April Fool's, and they all laughed at me.
Do you still have PTSD from that a little
Actually,
bit?
Actually, yeah.
Because I feel like that, like, as funny as it is, kind of contributed to to Shrimpgate.
Yeah, for sure. Because, of course, because I tell everyone, don't get me gifts on my birthday, on Christmas. I don't need your shit. I don't need your shit because people just have a hard time giving without expectations. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball is officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. Join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code LOGAN for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. This year, take your package to the next level with the Performance Package 4.0 and other premium wet goods. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. These products are the absolute perfect follow-up after your New Year's gym sessions. Cheers to the new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOGAN at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code LOGAN. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. Now back to...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org.
paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Show.
Our guest today is the Grammy-nominated artist who continues to redefine what it means to be an R&B star. If you didn't catch it already, the last leg of the Blue Water Road trip about to start in support of the Blue Water Road, a Blue Water Road, the album, repping the Bay Area. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to say it's Kehlani.
Wow. Yes.
Here, here, here.
Hey. Oh,
imagine I just knocked the whole shit out.
I know. Shit goes wrong a lot on this podcast. I think the entire podcast is actually probably a mistake in general.
Doesn't feel like one today. We got a big star.
Actually,
on the show.
So true. This episode's going to be great.
You like wearing the headphones?
I do. I feel like I can hear you guys how I'm supposed to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what podcasts are for. I feel like I get in the vibe when I have these on and I can hear the breaths of my partners and co-hosts.
Colleagues.
Just right in my ear. ASMR. I like it.
I have a really funny story to start this off with. So we're here at AVN right now, AVN Awards. It's a adult video news awards, right? Mm-hmm. Kehlani's performing. You're performing this evening?
Tonight, yeah.
Right? So I used to actually have this relationship with an adult star.
Okay.
Right? I don't know how much you follow the industry and stuff.
Yeah,
but
no, I don't know anyone.
Okay.
You don't know Lana Rhodes?
Well, I wasn't going to say her name. But really? That makes it easier, too.
I know, like, two of them, and then I literally freaked out when I saw them, and I was like, I've seen you guys once, and I kind of had a crush on
you. Wait, who are the two that you know?
Kira Noir.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
and
Noir.
Demi Sutro.
Oh, yeah.
And they were both together, so I was like, love y'all, nice. Gotta go.
Nice.
So when I was dating this girl, we used to have kind of like a little bit of like a toxic relationship.
Okay.
And we would get in these like little like nuanced like fights over kind of dumb shit from time to time.
Yeah.
And I would never know if when I went to her house, if she was actually like mad at me. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I would roll in and I knew that we were in a fight, but she'd be like, hey babe, what's up? Like, well, mm-hmm. you know, like hope you're having a good day. And then sometimes I would come in the house and she would be playing Kehlani.
Oh
shit.
Was that the subliminal, like, I'm pissed?
I'm pissed. And I knew as soon as I opened that door and I heard that song on.
I love that.
I was like, I am in trouble. So I got to ask you, do you make music for angry women?
I make all kind of music for, you know what? I don't even like to categorize women as angry because I think, why don't we talk about what y'all did that pissed them off?
By the way, point. We definitely did something.
You're right.
Yeah, no, they're not angry. Anybody just walking here mad for no reason. But I make music for people who experience a whole range of emotions. And if I happen to be pissed off when I made a song and the bitches can relate, you might want to apologize because you clearly did something.
It was one of the reasons I was so excited to have you on the show because I really respect your journey.
Thank you.
I think it's super admirable. You've been in the trenches. You've made it out. And as someone who, I'm not an artist like you, but I definitely have, you know, a creative bone in my body. Mm. But I was always afraid to really take that leap. Yeah. Early on, like, mm-hmm. We're the same age, 27,
yeah,
I believe.
Tight.
And I
27 club.
Yeah, I'm horrified.
You guys have to keep going.
We're fine. We're good. When's your birthday? When are you turn 28?
April 1st.
Oh, I'm April 24th. We good? We're going to make it to May? Yeah, we're good. We're going to make it past April.
I don't know. We got 4 months to go.
We're fine. We're making it through Vegas for way too many days. Like, we're...
You're right.
This is a sign.
we'll see what happens.
I'm jumping off the top of the stratosphere tomorrow. Do either of you guys want to join?
I actually really want to, but I pinched a nerve in my back, and I'm scared that bungee jumping is going to, like, crack me further.
Is it bad?
It's not too bad, but I was lifting wrong, and then just, yeah.
That's a shit injury.
Yeah.
Horrible.
It's really light. It's really light. But it's been the same for 2 weeks straight.
But you're not going to go jumping off a pyramid.
No.
Well, no, I only ask because that seems like something you wouldn't want to do if you're 27 trying to turn 28. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, I had a plan to do that. Like, I wanted to do it. Me and my other friend who didn't come down here with me is very geeked up. We wanted to do it. And then I thought about it and was like, well, that might make my back worse when I'm here for a show.
I'm doing it with this girl, Emily Willis, who's another adult star. She'll be presenting tonight and is up for a bunch of awards. We used to have a pretty big crossover on this show. We've had Riley Reid on and my ex-girlfriend, a bunch of other people in the space. And I've always had a really big crossover with the adult space.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious what your connection is to the space outside of the two girls that you know and how you feel about their work and so on and so forth.
Well, I honestly think I got asked because I make sexual ass music. But beyond that, I did do a video. I directed a video and, you know, with an amazing director. He actually passed away recently, so I'm going to give him that shout out. He's amazing, R.I.P. For a song I have called Can I? in which I highlighted OnlyFans. Like, we did it as like a OnlyFans cam girl like style video. And instead of me being the sex worker in it, I just actually got a bunch of actual, you know, women with OnlyFans who actually do that as their job. And then at the time there was like a kind of a boycott situation going on because, you know, people were crossing over and taking up the space that that sex workers had built as, you know, built the platform
up. It was the Bella Thorne thing.
Then I basically just like got someone who was really educated on the subject to like write me a passage and kind of like dedicated it to those women and highlighted them and just said, you know, like, be mindful when you're entering these spaces that you have to also uplift so that we don't take up the wrong space. And so I think that that's probably why they also picked me, because I just have an immense respect for what everybody's doing.
You're a friend of the industry.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy it. I respect it. So
that's kind of where I've been on it too. And I think like a lot of people will see guys at these type of events and
think
and
everybody's assume, creeped out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Assume,
like, why is
like,
he
yeah,
here?
Yeah.
Why assume, are you here?
Well,
Michael?
Obviously, you know, but I'm friends with all the girls. I'm friends with Tiana Trump and Riley and all these girls.
No,
all
a lot of people I'm with are like friends with them.
For sure. But somebody asked me yesterday, they were like, why do you, you know, what's the point of making content with the girls? And I was like, these girls are quite literally some of the coolest like girls I've ever met in my life.
Other things to offer.
And that's what we've always tried to show is, yo, they have favorite music. They have favorite movies. Yeah. They play instruments. They like to
they
travel.
They have degrees and shit. Like, they're fucking smart.
Yep, like, absolutely.
Hustlers. I respect it and applaud it.
Yeah.
Like being able to make money nowadays is hard.
Yeah.
It's like success is tough.
Yeah.
And the creativity and the ways they got there. I mean, get that work, girl. Go for it. I want to say something nice, though.
I got sidetracked.
Yeah. No, so we're the same age. But Kehlani, I never had the balls to take that leap when I wanted to, you know, be an entertainer. I did my year in college and, I have so much respect for artists who do take that leap, and you did.
Thank you.
You did, with no plan B.
Yeah.
That had to be the scariest thing ever.
It was.
Trying to do music, unsure of what your future looks like.
Yeah.
And I'm sure no one around you growing up wanted to do what you did.
Yeah, no, it was definitely like, I guess we're putting all our eggs in this basket, and I always made really drastic, chaotic moves towards it. Mm. Like, I literally was just talking this morning because my friend had hit me up, like, what's that burger spot you used to work at in Oakland? I was like, Park Burger. She was like, yeah, that was crazy. That was so quick. And I was like, yeah, I don't even think I picked up my last check because I got the call to, like, come to LA and make some music. And I was like, I'm just going to go. And I, like, literally never went back. I never
How old were you at the time?
17.
See, that's insane.
Yeah, 17. I was like, I'm just going to go to LA. And I called and I was like, I'm not going to hold you. I live here now. Like, I'm not coming back to work. And they were like, you don't want to come get your check? And I was like, honestly, no, you can just give it to someone.
Respect.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And that was during the Pop Life days?
Or that was right after.
Got it. Yeah. Because you were in a group called Pop Life. Mm-hmm. You were on America's Got Talent, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened in between, you know, that like kind of semi-bump that then sent you back to Oakland to be at the burger spot again? Like, what was that journey like?
I mean, we were just like, we were a band from like 13 to 16. And the end of it kind of was America's Got Talent was like the middle part of it. It was like the peak. And then we came back and then, you know, I mean, you watch those shows and you don't often really see people from those shows
continue.
We just didn't have that same like cushion developed in social media yet, where I feel like now people go on like The Voice or things like that and they can like leave and there's all this social media available to like push yourself after. But Instagram had just started. Like, I literally remember Instagram being like at the beginning when I was in Pop Life. So we came off and it was just like a natural kind of like, what do we do now? We had to go back to school. Like, I had to go graduate school and fucking be a kid. And then we found out a lot of shitty business things were happening with the band. And I was like, if this is what music is, I don't really want to do this. So I just got a couple jobs. I worked at Hot Topic. I worked at Cream, the ice cream store.
Love Hot Topic, by the way.
Sold some weed. Like, I did all the little like thing. I was just trying to survive and graduate high school, to be honest. And then I started getting calls to come to LA and try things, and I just started going.
What do you think it was? Was it your voice? Like, there was a pop that happened. Who recognized what?
Oh, well, Nick Cannon actually literally was like, I remember you from America's Got Talent. There's like a clause of time that they have to pass to like before they can like reach out like from that side of things. And he was like, I've been watching you. Like, you're great. Like, if you want to come try some things down here, there's like some people you can work with and things like that. And we kept trying to like try different ways of making it work, whether it was like a group setting or like just me and things like that. And then I met my manager and... He literally came back to me after meeting with me for one day. And I played him some music and he came back the next day and was like, hear me out. I have a 6-month plan. And if we do everything in this 6-month plan, you can call me your manager. Or will you call me your manager? And then we can see what it does. And everything he said in 6 months, we did.
So. Damn. You're lucky you got a good team early.
Oh, yeah, man. I literally, we'll be together forever.
Same one, huh? By the way, he's I sent him a cold email, like, what, yesterday? 2 days ago?
Yeah.
To get you on the show. And
I'm on it.
Super appreciative. Thanks
he's
for coming on.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
How long have you guys been working together now?
Since 2013 or 14.
Damn, sharp. That's like not very often that type of longevity.
Yeah, literally never even had we've never even had I mean, I feel like we maybe argued probably twice. Like on some serious, we're actually the problem. Like I could be like a little bitchy sometimes. Like I'm tired, I'm hungry, I don't feel like doing something, but that's the relationship we're supposed to have.
But also that's what makes a good manager, because he knows how to work with that type of situation.
Exactly. And afterwards I do something that I'm like, I was too tired to do. And he's like, aren't you glad you did it? I'm like, you're right. You're right. I'm glad we did this.
Nah, you got to trust him big time.
Yeah.
I know how hard it is to keep that fire alive for your passion when you are struggling. Did it stay alive, or was there a time where you felt like this music thing might not be for you?
There's times all the time. I mean, still to this day. I mean, that's just the world changes all the time. Mm. Like, I had a baby, like,
congrats.
Thank you. My understanding of family and like priorities in life is different. Like what I want out of life is different. I'm at this point now where I'm like my kid and my friends and my spiritual life and surfing and things like that have become like what I prioritize. And like music is just this driving force that like I get to go dip into as a, you know, when I'm feeling really creative.
Mm.
But it stopped being that like I eat, sleep, breathe, die for this, like probably around the time before I had a baby.
Really?
We talked about this before you came on, because this show has a third co-host named George, and he's incredible. And he's not here today because he skews on the other side of the spectrum that me and Logan skew towards, always working. Today's his birthday. He's spending it with his family.
Happy birthday.
We love you,
yeah,
George.
Yeah, we love you, Georgie. And I guess a question to piggyback off of that for you is like, what are those moments in life that you're like, yo, I'm not willing to risk this moment for anything. I don't care if it's the Super Bowl calling. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what are those moments for you?
I haven't experienced it with my child yet because she's only 3.
Yep.
But I would not be missing like graduations. Mm. I would not be missing like, even if it's freaking preschool, kindergarten, like I don't care. Recitals, things like that. It's really like these moments for her, because I had an absent parent. So I know I work and she understands that. Like, she's a super understanding 3-year-old. Like, she's like, you're going to work. It's great. Like, I love when you sing. Like, it's hard. We're getting to that point now where she's like, just don't leave the house. And I'm like, just come with me. But I won't be missing like those milestone moments in her life for sure. Like, I don't care.
You had her at relatively young.
24.
As a 24-year-old, I imagine, you know, the experience of birthing a human was one thing in itself, but how did you see your priorities shift, and was it like super palpable at the time?
I think what's even more palpable is not just the like priorities that are like physical or like job related. Mm-hmm. It's like emotional priorities. Like, I can't let anybody make me a hothead for no reason. Like, I'm not risking losing my mind in front of my kid. Like, nobody can get me all sad and depressed. Like, there's just all these little things where I'm like, at the end of the day, like, my daughter has to look at me and see this like happy, joyous, motivated, energizing person, because that's the parent that I want to be. I'm not saying that all parents have to just like put on a happy face all the time, but I know that I want my child to remember me as like full of life and like fun and like creativity and like energy. So I can't really let too many things like derail me because that's how I want to show up for her.
Does that put pressure on you sometimes when you are going through something that is stressing you out, whether it be, you know, a relationship or something with work where you feel like you have to come back home and make sure that you're in that space? And how do you get back to that space when you feel yourself start to go off the tracks?
I mean, I let myself feel it. I just try to not go through that experience in front of her. But I'm just, I have a really good self-regulation gauge at this point. I think like I'll go surf or I'll go to the gym or I'll watch something funny. Like I have a pretty good understanding of how to like get myself back on track. Especially as a very spiritual person, and just I prioritize that. So like I got those tools down early. Even to the point where like I can regulate on tour finally. And
I imagine you have to be able to do that.
What? It took me so long that you get to that weird middle point of tour where like everything feels monotonous and like everything is just a little like you don't know what day it is and where you are and where you're going. On this tour, we were bored and we decided to have a pajama day.
Sick.
So the entire tour team, the opener, us on stage, and the audience, majority of the audience came in pajamas.
Sharp. That's
we,
cool.
And we literally were like, we were gonna do a whole like spirit week thing, but then after that we were like, that's just OD. Like it's too much to think about. But it was cool. It was a way to like, you just saw the energy shift on tour after that because everybody was like excited again. They were
you
like,
gotta
"Oh,
we got
a day to be silly," and then we're like, "We're refreshed." Yeah. So.
On the daughter thing, just to ask one more question: are you and I'm asking this for a reason, but are you raising her alone?
No.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
Yeah. I have an amazing co-parent.
Got it.
He's the best dad ever. He's actually like too good of a dad. Like we split her so evenly that like if I'm like, no, I want to take her for like a couple more days, he's like, no, those are my days.
Oh, no way.
But obviously we're flexible because I'm gone more, and so when I get enough time, he lets me have her for the same amount of time that I was gone for and things like that. But super supportive. We're like best friends. Like we have amazing energy. Like it's pretty perfect.
Great. Honestly.
I'm assuming you guys had intended to be together.
No, I was like, no, not really. It was like a 90% friendship. It was a 10% romantic for a second, but we were friends for a while before. And then I looked at him one day and I was like, basically my manager told me I was about to have my first break. He was like, you're about to have your first year off since we started. Go travel, go do all this stuff. My brain went, duh, baby. And I literally remember I was performing at Toronto Pride. And after the Pride, I was like, y'all, I'm having a baby. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, and I'm going to go track my cycle right now and I'm going to start trying. And I literally told my baby daddy and I was like, what's up? Let's have a kid. You'd be a great dad. I'd be a great mom.
Wow.
Like, he was like, fuck no, you're crazy. The next day he was like, I'm down, honestly.
So it was really crazy, man.
I was like, he just flipped. I have my money together. Yeah. Like, I'm a passionate person. I'm going to be a fantastic mom. You're going to be a fantastic dad. Like, let's do it.
This has just been kind of happening more and more these days. Like
I think it's the future. I think everybody's gonna do it.
People are finding like these like genetic matches, realizing both of the parents are mentally, financially stable and want to both have a kid, but like don't put all of the eggs into the basket of we're gonna be together forever, because that may be unrealistic at this point.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I don't wanna like ever front on him and make it seem like it wasn't a little bit romantic. Like it was for a second, but the time period was giving mostly friends and like maybe like a month or some weeks of like it being kind of sexual and us being like, this is still feel like a little sexual friendship. And then we became family.
This seems like a good parlay too. You don't only have relationships with men.
I don't have any relationships with men anymore. I've been out as a lesbian for 2 years.
Two years now. Mm-hmm. How has that changed your life and your romance and everything? I want to ask you about the differences between dating men.
Oh, there's so many differences. I quite frankly just thought like maybe I was like something like broken. And like I wasn't, like the ability to dissociate in a relationship and during sex and with connection. And I thought maybe I had just like been through too much or like I just like I wasn't meeting the right people. I kept trying and like I was idealizing all the connections I was making. Like this is great. And I kept getting to this point in these relationships where I was like, something is wrong, you know. And it's even beyond like the heartbreaks that were happening. Like it was beyond like what people like being cheated on or like these things that were happening in the relationship. I was going through these things long before that was even happening. I'd get cheated on, the relationship would be over, and I'd be like, damn, like 3 months ago I was already like, what is happening? Why don't I want to have sex? Why don't I want to Why don't I feel that deeply? Like, what is, why am I losing this spark that I had initially? Am I just like a freaky conqueror complex having ass? Like, I'm just doing this to see if I can. Then my therapist was like, how do you feel about women? I was like, if a girl looks at me, I'm going to melt into a puddle.
No way.
Or like, I would have conversations with other people who like women. I feel we felt the same way, but I could not say those things about men. And she was like, you ever thought that maybe you're just gay? I was like, yeah, you're right. Actually, probably.
What a funny way to get there. I mean, everyone has their own journey, but it didn't strike you first personally, like, hey, I may be skewing this direction.
I mean, I was always bi as hell. So it wasn't like I didn't go from being straight to being a lesbian. Like, right. I was I've been bi my whole life. I've always had girlfriends. Like, I've always, you know. But actually, what's even funnier is that what really did it was after the therapy call, I got sent a Google Doc titled Am I a Lesbian? And it talks about comp-het, which is compulsory heterosexuality. And it's, which is all about like how society has influenced so much, you know, heteronormativity and heterosexuality, like
funneled your own personal thoughts down it. Yeah.
That a lot of us, especially women and femme presenting people, struggle with even knowing if that's our actual sexual orientation or if it's what we've been
taught
and trained to be. And I read the fuck out of this Google Doc and was like, when I had to list and analyze like why I was still dating men, none of it had to do with being in love. None of it had to do with like these feelings that I'm supposed to feel and like love and care and deep emotion. It was like, this makes sense. And this, all my friends are like, he can take care of you. And like, this is financially secure. Mm. And like this, he's a protector. And like, why picket fence dad, mom thing? You know, and even though I grew up like with my family super open and queer and like all the relationships being really different and like, I still had that like, this makes sense thing kind of going. And as soon as I like said, I'm not, you know, I'm not doing that anymore. And I came out, my relationships and my ability to like feel deeply for anybody I'm romantically with, it was like, oh, I've been missing this my whole life. Even though I had girlfriends. So when I had girlfriends, yes. But once I completely was like, yes, let me accept myself. It was like these floodgates opened.
That had to be a great feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I experience emotions deeper across the board now. So
I don't know if this is disrespectful, but would you ever go back to
men? That was my next question.
Yeah, I feel like I don't feel like there's any questions that are like that crazy unless they're on purposely disrespectful.
No, I'm curious. Sexuality is so fluid nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, I think the way that gender is so fluid with people, like in the way that I feel like that would work for me is if I had a partner who was a woman and then they transitioned.
I see.
At some point, I would still hold that space for my partner. Unless I really felt like at some point that would not work for my sexual identity. And that's specific to the person. Mm. But I also at the same time would probably be like, I'm a lesbian and you're a man and maybe you should be with somebody who wants to be with a man. Because I'm not actively seeking out any kind of man at this point.
Right.
But I wouldn't like leave my partner if I really loved them and they transitioned.
You're in a relationship now?
I am.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Congrats. Awesome.
Bad feelings or like ill feelings towards men in general? Or like, is there any part of you that feels like...
Am I part
like,
of the She-Man, a woman haters club? I mean, I men haters club.
Yeah, maybe not that much, but do you feel like there's any part of like the male treatment of either you or just like women in general that pushed you towards the place that you're in right now?
No, it wasn't a hatred. It was just me really understanding who I love. It wasn't like, dang, I hate men, they suck, I'm gonna go like girls, because some girls would do you dirtier than a guy.
I was gonna ask,
oh my god, women are fucking vile. Like, it's like men are like a like kind of like doofuses, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
This is so true.
Like, it's like it's a so doofus true. Is like, well, I'm not gonna say y'all don't know what you're doing, because y'all be fucking up and y'all know what you're doing, but like,
what do you mean
women it's like so deep and calculated, and like there's just, I feel like the ways in which women have hurt me sometimes has just been so, there's so many more levels to it. And I don't know if that's just because I like them more, but like, it's just the capability, I feel like, is different. But I don't want to also like say that like women are worse than men, because they love better to me, in my opinion. Like, the pros are pros. That's what growing, for sure.
I was going to ask you about that. I wanted to say that saying, what is it? Hell hath no fury like a scorned woman.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, yo, I've been on the
receiving. Girls will fuck you up.
For sure.
Don't go gay because you don't like guys. Like, that's not going to do. Or, well. Well, that actually, you should go gay because you don't like guys. Don't go gay because a man hurts you. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm.
What do women do better, both from a relationship standpoint, in the bedroom, if you want to get into it, and just in general, from a loving standpoint?
I think when we think about the energy of femininity versus masculinity, which even like mask women still have that feminine, that major feminine presence, and if they identify as a woman, then they're a woman. It's the same things you guys would say. It's the softness, it's the tender, it's the care, it's the attentiveness, it's a deeper, I feel like, understanding of life, which I feel like is a part of like the feminine energy, because we all have the feminine and the masculine, but those are specific traits of what is the like the divine feminine energy, not to get like that, but... So if someone is a woman, they embody all of that, like that's their natural. So two women being able to share that experience together, I feel like is like a whole mind warp of like what love is. And I don't even feel like I even understood that until I started having like deep, long, like meaningful relationships with women.
Tactically, what advice could you give to some alpha male out there right now that's just sharpening a fucking sword in a cave and like rubbing rocks together, and they're like, I'm gonna provide for this family, but the wife's at home like, yo, this dude has no idea what the fuck he's doing. Like what's some advice you could give these dudes to like get them to a point where they're actually like satisfying their woman with what they want, I guess?
What's funny is I feel like a lot of the traits that women are looking for in men is like feminine traits, like they need to adopt their femininity, and that means the softness and the attentiveness and the tenderness and the care. Like, I don't know too many women who, when they're saying that they don't want, like, that whole conversation of like, I want a manly man who does this and this and this, I don't think that that means that they don't want the tenderness and the care and the support and the attentiveness. They might be talking about some like sexual power, sexual presence, or like fucking, you might beat somebody up if they talk to you crazy in the street. Like, that, maybe that's what they're talking about. But I think a lot of men, like, cancel that part of themselves out to, like, honor the other side. Like,
right.
You can defend your woman in the street and also, like, sit down and ask her if she needs anything. And, like, if she wants to talk about something or, like, give
what
her...
what she wants.
Yeah, notice that she's tired. And so take over when she's tired. Like, it's things like that. And I feel like a lot of men I know, a lot of, you know, cis straight men don't often flow through both.
It's like a balance, right? Because you want the woman probably wants the man to be able to provide on the masculine side and the feminine side, and the man wants the woman to provide on the soft, gentle side, but also reprimand the kids, reprimand him when he's doing some fucked up shit. Like, it's like a balance where both people need to kind of meet in the middle. I think I'm by no means any kind of expert on relationships. I suck at relationships. I'm trying to do my best. I want to ask you, how do you feel like society is progressing right now? Do you feel like we're in a good upswing towards fluidity and sexual, you know, the nature of sexuality? Or do you think we're currently on a downslope from a like tactical, like small window standpoint?
I think it's always a crazy duality or polarity going on at the same time. Like, on one end, I think that we have so much more language now. We're having conversations we never had. Mm-hmm. Like, people that are really, really young are like, have access to community online that like my trans homegirls couldn't come out when they were in high school and I was in high school, because they just simply didn't even have enough of the language and enough, you know, supportive community to do so. People are coming out, you know, as kids and getting all the love and support. So I think on one end, like, we are really understanding. There's all these, you know, like new like gender identities that you know make people feel more seen. There's all this understanding of fluidity and like even how you present, like all of that I feel like is shifting. And I also feel like the internet gives platforms to a lot of bigots at the same time, and so a lot of that is also really loud because all of this is loud. So I feel like it's always that duality of like, when things get really good, people who hate on it get really loud too.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of it over the past like couple years, I think, on TikTok and Twitter, A lot
Twitter
of places
is
like
really
that.
Where the crazy shit
yeah,
is.
Yeah, we talk about it.
I don't
it
have
lot.
One.
That's it's the really worst bad. Place it's a really bad ever. Place.
I'm never going back.
It is the worst place I agree. Ever. I don't know why toxicity runs rampant on Twitter way more than any other platform.
I don't think you're supposed to like know what that many people are thinking all the time.
I said this on the show
it's
the
unsafe.
Other day. It's too many collective minds that have maybe dark or like misaligned thoughts that can echo each other and gather together to make a hashtag that's trending
and
in the opposite direction.
Just, it really makes you unable to really think for yourself majority of the time.
Even
even personally, I see myself, my opinions sometimes being swayed in a way they shouldn't be just because everyone else says
right
a certain thing that I may not believe right. but everyone says it, and so as a human I think you're inclined to just go with the herd
and whether it's even good or bad. I mean our brains are not, we were not built as humans
to know
the exact we were made to be in a village with 100 people. We know all of the people, we all kind of have a similar feel or look, and there, of course there are people that are outliers, but like the idea that our brains can process this much information is ridiculous.
I'm like, I want to wake up and think about my day, and now I know what like 200, 300 mm-hmm. people's days are starting
what they
and
for
being
lunch,
like.
Yeah.
And I'm walking through like, how can I even focus on what my day is supposed to be when like this person doing this and this person feels like this and this is what's going on. This person's live, like, it's too much.
It's a circus. But I do want to say it feels like part of that is this groundswell recently of, and I'll keep my bias or opinion out of it, but this groundswell of anti-woke, anti-fluidity, anti-trans kind of conversation. What do you say to those people out there who are pushing extremely hard in the opposite direction against the progressive movement, against these people who are confused or just trying to figure out what they feel in life? What would you say to them?
I mean, I would say that this shit's happening regardless of if you like it or not. People are discovering themselves and being comfortable with themselves and moving through their identities, whether you like it or not, whether it makes you comfortable or not. Like it quite literally doesn't fucking matter how you feel about how someone else is deciding to like live their life. And people who take it beyond that step and you know, put violence into it and like take it a step further, like all y'all need to just disappear off the planet if you ask me, because it's not your business. Mm. Never will it ever be your business who I lay with, who they identify as, what they are, what they decide to be. Never will it be your business if I decide to identify something else. Like, just live your life. I promise it's so simple. Because on the flip side, these people are not waking up and thinking about you. They don't give a fuck what you do.
I want to echo that 100%. I just put simply, never understood why anyone gives a fuck.
Why do you care?
I don't know.
Live and let live.
You're not fucking me.
Right. I think like, look, change is fucking hard for a lot of like simple humans to understand. Like they know a certain thing. They've come to understand it a certain way, and not to throw the generations above us under the bus, but you know, things were a lot more strict. You mentioned language, like
they didn't have the conversations we were having.
They couldn't. The society didn't accept it as like an appropriate thing to do or be at the time, which is like, what a shitty time to be alive. I think suppressing who you are is probably one of the biggest pitfalls and pains that a human can experience.
Absolutely.
Question though, and just to play the other side, because I think it's good for the conversation. There's obviously a bunch of, because I subscribe to live and let live. I don't give a fuck what you do in your life. Here's where we can conversate. Don't affect my life or the life of my family, right? Ever.
Yeah.
Okay. And so a question I would have is, how do you feel about those conversations, questions, and learnings bleeding into the classroom or into affecting religion, right? So like this, and this is just completely, once again, just me throwing it out there to you. Do you feel like that complicates things a little bit because someone's kid could be learning something in the classroom?
No, because our world is set up for the normal state of operation to be heterosexual. So if you're already reading books where there's mom and dad, why is there not an option for there to be a book about mom and dad and dad? If you're already, come on, kids are watching movies where like the damsel in distress gets saved by the Prince Charming, and that's teaching us that's teaching little girls that like your life isn't worth it until like a magical man comes and saves you from what you're doing and kisses you on the face and then you owe him for the rest of your life. Mm. Like this is already the, it's just like if all we learned was white history. I mean, not to say that that's that far off because majority of what we learn is only white history, but why is it not just the normal option to have all the options? Mm. Like we should be able to have all the options. I don't believe in, there's no such thing as the gay agenda because it's only because the world is straight.
It is so strange, and just I'll give my opinion on it for a second, that the people on, we'll call it the right or the conservative side, that have tried to blow the top off of this like world that no one knows about and this like elite side, and they want everyone to know all the dirty secrets are simultaneously, and I believe that's a great thing and I want everything to be out there, but are also simultaneously keeping a cap on a lot of other stuff that they don't want to get out. And so like either as two parties and two sides and two ways of thinking, we're both going to believe that everything's going to be out there and we're all going to be individuals to make decisions on our own and as a family unit and as parents and kids, or we're not. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so it does seem strange to me that some shit could get out, but some shit can't. You know?
I mean, people are always, that's just, I think, a natural way of the unhealed human. Like, that's just life. Mm. Like, that's just, I be doing bad shit and this is what I'm going to allow you to see and this is what I'm going to allow to be known and then you can't see the other shit. And that's kind of just like society in general. That's government, that's parties, that's
control.
Classes. Yeah, it's what it is. Control. Yes, yeah. Like yeah, this is what I'm showing you. I mean, all this shit is working in this entertainment ass looking ass like system. So we're going to see what we're supposed to see.
Ironically, I think that's where social media, Twitter, like does help out. It does.
I feel so split down the middle, right? But I'm even more on the side of pro social media because we are able to have these conversations and create these communities in which even if all it's doing is linking us up with each other, with other like-minded people so that we can have these conversations even in person, I'm grateful for that.
Totally.
Well, and it also like people love to cancel and people love to, you know, mob against people.
Yeah.
But in reality, the more I have gotten to sit with it and really understand it, social media allows everyone to be exposed.
Yeah.
The good and the bad. Yeah. And there's a lot of harm in putting the bad in a silo and saying, yo, those thoughts you have, they're not allowed in the town square, but go into your conference hall and rally your 150 or 200 people.
Yeah, that's just dangerous.
Right. It's better for us to all know what everybody's views are and to speak on it together and have a conversation about it. My views have changed on that a little bit in terms of deplatforming and stuff.
Yeah, I think we have taken buzzwords like cancel and deplatform and just like ran it the fuck up because I just think it's even things. I just think so much in the world requires nuance, like so much we lack so much compassion for people's journeys as individuals when we like do the, and I'm talking about petty canceling. I'm not talking about like you have really fucking harmful views or you're abusive or things like that. Like all that shit, by all means, I'm team cancel they ass forever and take everything they ever made. Like, I don't like that. If it's dangerous, you know? But there's like little petty things that's like, okay, like you might've viewed something really ridiculous or like you didn't like this artist when you were 14. Mm. And now you've grown up and you like tweeted a lyric from this artist and they're like, okay, but I'm gonna pull up when you hated them when you were 14. You're canceled. And I'm like, bro, I just said, maybe I didn't like that rap song when I was 14 and now I grew up and I have taste. Like, damn, like could my taste change now that I'm an adult?
So
I just think like the petty things, like as a society, I think we just hype, we harp on that shit on social media anyways. So
I think what you just said like hits the nail on the head too. Like people just don't have compassion or respect for the people's journeys in life. You know what I'm saying? I think, and especially when y'all reach pedestals that you get placed upon, people want perfection. Yeah. No, they fuck that. They demand perfection.
Absolutely.
Yo, you will be perfect.
Absolutely.
But that's not how life works. People make mistakes and they go through shit. And I want to ask you this, because you were really down at probably a couple points in your life.
Yeah,
like you were homeless at one point, right? How do you, at your current, you know, hugeness, stay like connected to who you were in that moment and that humble, you know, hungry person. And by the way, all those people that are still there, how do you continue to speak and live in that space?
I just naturally operate in a way of like understanding at all times that like this shit could disappear any moment and that I'm lucky to have it and that I like just constantly like, that's why I have like a funny relationship with money where I'm like, it comes and it goes and it happens and I take care of people. And like, if I take care of people, you know, God brings it right back, you know? So I don't operate in this naturally like, I gotta just like get this shit and fuck everybody because I know what I came from and I'm never going back. I operate like I could go back tomorrow. So let me just like work really hard, but let me also just be a good person and like do everything I want to do with it and like make sure that I accomplish the things that I want to do in the world on like, I don't want to say like a philanthropic. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't, not just like that, but just like energetically what I want, the mark I want to leave isn't based on like, I got to prove to y'all that I came from the bottom. Like the mark I want to leave is like, we all flow through in and out of what that looks like. And that looks like some people for that, that's mental. It's not even like I was homeless. It's like for some people, the worst part of their life is like they were depressed and about to jump off the side of whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I just kind of just always be in this constant state of like checking in with myself. How am I really feeling? How am I doing? Remember that you're grateful. Remember that you're lucky to be here. Because anything can happen and like nobody's better or less susceptible to losing everything they worked for than another person.
It's an incredibly humble stance and headspace.
It's the only stance.
Yeah, it's the only stance.
You seem super, even just listening to you, like energetically balanced. And I'm
it
sure
took it's a really long time. Oh my God. Right? It took a lot. It took really understanding how important it is for the right people to be around that facilitate that. Having a serious commitment to like spiritual hygiene, because we can talk about like, you know, religion. I'm a very religious person and not Christian.
I wanted to ask.
Yeah, I'm in an Afro-Cuban religion. So it's a very heavy emphasis on like spiritual hygiene and like spiritual cleanliness. That's actually like a process. Like I have actual things that I do when I'm feeling unwell, not just like, not just prayer.
Afro-Cuban?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this. Enlighten me.
I mean, it's an Afro-Cuban religion called Lukumi. I don't really know how to do the short form version. Okay. It originated in West Africa.
Do you pray?
And then I do pray. Yeah, prayer is a big part of it. But
what's the deity or like the god? Is there
it's a monotheistic, so there is God, and then there's all these pantheons of, I want to say people, but
we don't want to put like you on
saints,
the spot for like
they're called
defining.
The Odishas.
Okay, got it. Okay.
But it's originally from West Africa, and then it was brought. When Cuba was created, and it's like the birth of this traditional West African religion and Catholicism that was forced onto the slaves, and then they had to birth this religion out of secrecy and survival. And we use it to this day to just like save people's lives, change people's lives, heal them, aid them, bring them out of struggles, comfort them. I mean, all things that people go to religion for. But
is it heaven and hell based at all?
No.
No, huh?
No. It's the idea that we're missing a major energetic understanding and gift when we're here, and that this spirit is given to us to aid us in that. And we walk with them for life and we understand everything that they have to teach us. And what we do after, I mean, we also, it's heavily emphasized on like working with the dead after, and like on some, like you have your altar, you pray to your folks. You know what I'm saying? It's honestly, Christians do the same shit.
Like, I was just about to say
it's all the same shit, honestly. Let's be fucking for real. I fuck with Jesus, and I still pray to Jesus too because my ancestors did. So the way I have to connect with my ancestors, I play them gospel. I pray to Jesus. You know, so it's all,
I like that.
It's all the same shit.
Yeah. I like that. Isn't it funny how much overlap there is in the religions? Yeah, everybody still wants to kill each other.
I think like it makes total sense. Like we all look different because we came from different places. Just like words be sounding like the same word, but in each language, they just sound like slightly different version of one word. So why wouldn't our gods look like us, depending on where we are, and it all not just be one big energy?
That's where I land.
I mean, dude, like people cling to what makes them feel good.
Of course.
If that's what makes you feel good. And I went to church one time when I was like 15, 16, and I was in Philly randomly at this church. And this lady was like, I don't give a fuck if any of this shit isn't real. This makes me, she literally was like, this makes me want to get up in the morning and be a better person.
Yes. She's,
I read these stories and this inspires me to be a better member of society and a better friend and a better grandmother and a better this and da da da. If that's if whatever that God is allows you to do that, God bless you.
Yeah.
Damn, I got to say shout out George again real quick.
He would be frothing
he's
at the mouth.
He's
right
a
now.
Big religious believer, Christian, and I wish he was here for this, but
shout out Jesus and, yeah. and him.
I got into a little thing with Jesus and George the other day. Look, I love Jesus, but Kehlani, where I have fallen short in the religion category yeah. is I get super fired up when I pinpoint the intolerance that exists in religion.
Oh, yeah.
Like I really don't like it. And yeah. and so it's sometimes
I agree.
Beliefs have been hard for me to accept yeah. when I know how alienating they can be yeah. because they're being perpetuated in a what I believe to be a dangerous yeah. way.
I mean, it's because it's become human. Yeah. God was never about being like what the man-made version of it is. Like God is bigger than that. You know what I mean? It's people have taken it and monetized it. The book isn't even right. Like, shout out the Bible. There's some really cool stories in there, but like the book isn't even correct. You know what I mean? Like it's when humans step into non-human things yeah. and commodify them and yeah. then like turn it into some human ass shit.
Commodify.
That's really, 100%.
Do you connect?
It's like a business.
Yeah. Yeah. I you said it though. Although I could be quick to place judgment a certain way, if it gives people hope and purpose, it's wrong to be dismissive of it.
No, Christ is tight. Christians be sucking sometimes.
That's what I
That's
said.
That's just the bottom line.
Wait,
like,
ready?
I didn't say anything hey. About Jesus. Hey. I said it about the folks.
Oh, I'm going to say something real quick. Jesus. You hear how she bet. Said it? It's all about how you say it, buddy.
Oh,
you didn't
lie.
Say it
what's,
like that,
what's
pal.
What's so funny
she
is
She said
like,
it awesome.
Speaking of being so hyper aware, literally, I was like doing my research to decide if I was like going to come on the podcast. And I was like, Logan Paul canceled. I was like, what has he been canceled for? Has he ever been canceled? Because I need to know before I come
and
up
you
on
still
here.
Came
and,
on, huh?
And it was just like Christian talk. And I was like, there.
Well, you may have
I'm
searched
like,
a little shallow, but.
Oh my God.
No,
don't
scared.
Cancel me for being honest. I have
no,
idea.
No, you're chill.
But that's all that came up. And I was like, oh, it seems like that, we're similarly on the same.
Hearing you talk, I'm we're vibing on that wavelength. Yeah. And that's what I was referencing. Like that was like a recent thing that yeah. happened. And like, I just, what
no,
he
they're
said,
gonna
I
probably
said,
come for me too, but I love Jesus for real.
I love Jesus.
Great
I just,
guy.
I just fucking hate intolerance. I hate
yeah,
it.
I mean,
I hate feeling people feeling like they can't be themselves because of like a belief system, a book of stories.
Yeah.
That, any book. I don't care what it is.
And all of this intolerance is anti what Jesus would want.
The exact opposite.
What would Jesus want? For y'all to not act like fuckheads
Love
and
your
weaponize
neighbor.
Everything that he is to, you know, against other people. I thought we were supposed to be peace, love, Jesus, God.
Love your neighbor, always.
Right, so.
Do you connect with any of the other people in your space? Because I'm going to slaughter this name right now. Jhené Aiko. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
I think it's Aiko.
Do you connect with her at all?
That's my big sister.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, okay.
She's super cool.
Because she's super into... Okay, I'm going to say something. I don't know if it makes it or not, but I actually... She was selling her house in California, and I went to look at it. I was going to buy it. And she had some crazy crystals and crazy...
Yo, like, she coyotes had, up there. Actually,
oh, a ton. No, because she's like in the mountains.
Yeah.
And she had a whole room.
You said the crystals. I'm like freaky dogs.
Well, that too.
A coyote
she had
killed
a whole
my dog.
Room.
Coyote killed your dog?
Oh, you like these coyotes.
Coyote killed my Pomeranian.
Are we trauma bonding? R.I.P. Franklin.
What did you do? Anything? Because I killed the motherfucker.
You killed the coyote?
It took 2 years.
You couldn't find... You tracked it? You found
years.
The exact coyote? He came back?
Yeah. They're the neighborhood coyotes. Territory. They kill 12 dogs a year. Someone had to do it.
Oh, I fuck with you. I fuck with that.
Someone had to do it. I took this. That was my fucking boy. His name is Kong. Cute little golden Pomeranian.
No.
They hopped my fence too. It was like an abduction mission.
They stole.
It was premeditated and they took him.
You saw it on camera?
Yeah.
We saw it on camera. Yeah. That's how we even knew because he was such a like such a clingy little dog that like, I'm like, I'm walking around the house. He's not with any of us. He was the type of dog you'd be like, Franklin. He would just like run from across the everywhere. And I'd be like, okay, so once we didn't get a response, we started checking the cameras and it was just it was so quick. We had gates that had like big spaces.
Wait, why is this the same story?
It is the same story.
But he went out like such a G. Like, I had a Dalmatian and I have a pit. And my pit is a big goofy girl.
I got a pit too.
Look at us, are we friends? And then the Dalmatian was like new and I had got him for my ex-girlfriend and he went out to play with the coyote. Mm. So he runs through the gate. He's like kind of big. So they're like, and my, I promise you, my pit couldn't get her head through the gate. She's just like, no. And he went out there barking, trying to save his brother, and then got snatched.
So that's what Kong did, too. Kong stood up to the coyote and was barking at it.
Oh, my God. We have such gangster little... I'm proud gangsta of them.
Snagged.
We have, like, his little ashes, like...
We got a,
we found as much as we could. There was not that much.
Oh, you guys are exact. Left. Now you're exact.
I got a notification on the Citizen app that a little severed dog's head had been found 3 miles away.
Oh, my God. No, the neighbors told my security, who's, like, literally like a Yorkie, like he has like 8 Yorkies. He's a Yorkie man. He found my dog, actually.
Kalani, I dressed in fucking camouflage
and went in a tree
to find the coyote.
Yeah.
Not to like say that, not to make this like that, but like that would have been a really incredible vlog to watch.
No,
like,
no,
that's so sad, but like I would have been like right behind you, like fuck this coyote, like there, team you.
People are divided, I think. With some, I think,
oh,
I think
because
maybe
they're like coyote activists. No, fuck the coyote
activists.
I don't give a fuck. I got a grudge, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Not gonna be out here slaughtering coyotes or like random ones at that. But like, bro, stay the fuck
I
away from my pets. So
stay
like,
away. If they hadn't
ruthless.
Have hopped my fence and premeditated it, trust
right,
me, this
you
was
came
planned.
Up over here first. Like,
you're on my turf.
I was taught when you smack me, I get to smack you back.
100%. 100%. We start smacked with a bow and arrow.
A bow and arrow
straight to the heart.
Okay, this is different.
I'm wearing plaid. What'd you expect? I'm from Ohio.
I want to learn. I feel like I'd be good at it.
Maybe you should give her the maybe you should give her the taxidermy body.
You taxidermy
to rappers to be out. He's a bit sick.
Fuck him.
Where do he be chilling? Where is his taxidermy?
He's hanging
body?
Out at the taxidermist still.
You still haven't picked him up?
Nah, 2 years. 2 fucking years. I'm actually pissed, dude. If my taxidermist is watching this. Honestly, keep that coyote, bro. I don't even give a shit anymore. I've forgiven him.
You taxidermied the coyote.
Yeah, not my dog. My dad did that though with his dog, though. Look, it's
okay.
Family.
I thought you taxidermied the dog, and I was like, oh, this is very serious.
Oh, no.
He
what
only had
what
the
kind
head.
Of freak would do that?
Oh, that's why I was like, all right, I wasn't judging.
Well, what do you mean what
like,
kind of freak would do that? Your dad has a rug. That
but
is
taxidermying
his dog.
The coyote, I mean, what were you going to do with it after?
I don't know.
Like, look, I got that motherfucker. Put him on your wall, like those elk wall things.
So I'm not that either. Like, I don't know.
I didn't know you said the plaid, bro.
I don't know.
If you go to your house, and you have like fucking like
deers
on the wall
everywhere. No, the dead animals. Like, I grew up that way, which I think is where like half of it comes from.
You be hunting and shit.
Until I was like 15, I was like, why am I fucking doing this? Like, I don't need this meat like to survive. I also like these deer are so just. Animals living their fucking life.
Yeah.
I didn't find the sport in it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of hunters do. And I got respect for hunters that.
Yeah, it's some doofus shit for sure.
Not the hunters, the deer.
Oh, I think hunting for pure sport doofuses. Is some doofus shit. Yeah. I don't get it. I really don't get
no,
it.
No, for like, sure. I agree with that. A lot of the hunters now are staying in the sport and people are accepting it because they do eat. They do just eat the meat.
Yeah,
head to tail.
Indigenous lifestyle.
Right.
That's where after that I draw the line. Like
they would tell you some deer are overpopulating. They got their arguments.
Okay.
By the way, I don't know if they're legit or not. Again, I grew up this way. So like I see both sides. But I was willing to put on my hunter orange when the coyote killed my dog again. That's when the hunter came out.
If I had talent in that spectrum,
you probably kick some
went,
ass, yeah.
What? And I would have been torturous. I hate that.
Uh-oh, who's the sick
one
now?
That was my boy. I would have been like talking to it and shit right before like camping. Yeah, fuck
dude,
you.
Dude, I just
like,
had the craziest vision of Kalani waterboarding
a coyote.
Doing like
where
Chinese
is he?
Water torture.
Where is he?
Yeah.
This is getting borderline animal abuse and they're going to come for me.
Those coyotes are sick. Dude,
sick fucks.
They're hunters. They're hunting our pets. Bro.
What do you do with all your gratitude? I'm listening to you talk. You have a lot of it, and it's great. It's such a good quality that a human can have.
Thank you.
I'm sure you have an overwhelming sense of it. What do you do with it?
Yeah, sometimes it's hard not to be toxically grateful.
Great.
Oh,
like, because that's a thing. You can be like, honestly, anything is okay because I'm just happy to be here. So it took me a long time. I feel like there's like a pendulum thing that happens with every single emotion that you experience on earth. Like you're on one side, you have to swing all the way to the other side to get back to the middle. So I went from like I mean, I was always grateful, but I did have a moment where I was like, everything sucks and I hate it here. And then I had to swing all the way back. And now I'm back in the middle where like I can honor how I feel when I'm feeling without it taking away from my gratitude. Mm. And really understanding that that doesn't take away from how grateful you are for everything. Mm. But I also just make sure that I share it. You know, I share.
Give it out.
I share it like shit. I'm like, I've been to Vegas a bunch. I got homies who never been to Vegas. We're going to stay in a fancy little place. You guys want to go do some fun shit? Like, I'm bringing all the homies who never been here. Like, you never left the country before. You're coming on tour. Like, shit like that. Like, that's my favorite shit because those are the moments where when people did that for me, that changed my life and allowed me to see what kind of path that was different from what I thought I was going to have growing up. So I just make sure that any chance I get, I'm like taking all the homies and my family with me.
So I'm gonna steal that from you.
Do it. You got to.
Yeah, take me somewhere, dude.
That's what will change you. You never know.
Give me some equity.
What experience you give somebody that they will look back and be like, this was the catalyst for me changing my own life.
Damn.
I occasionally get the message, the gratitude message. I'm sure you sent it out. People have put you on or believed in you, maybe even before you believed yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the moments, man.
Yeah.
I remember that forever. Some people shape your life in a certain way, and like, you got to give that respect back.
It can be so minor. It can be so minor. So just as much as any chance you get to like spark anything in somebody else, just grab it, because you just never know what moment it was for them, and it could be yours. Mm.
Damn, that's a great way to end. But I wanted to ask a quick question about that, because you seem to know how to talk about gratitude, like,
yeah,
without scaring people. I come from the East Coast. You come from Oakland.
You got to be grateful.
Okay, like, do you also kind of read the room? Because there's some rooms you walk into where people are like, yo, how the fuck are you today? And you're like, man, I am just so grateful to be. And they're just like, don't you ever fucking talk to me like that. Like, they're not on that frequency.
Yeah.
So
they're like, I hate it here.
Leave me alone. Don't ever talk to me again. How do you start to like shift those people that don't even know what gratefulness means? And if they do, they fucking hate it into that type of thinking.
I mean, what's annoying about me, and I feel like maybe it came from years of like having to read the room because of like my job since I was a kid, or maybe like something in childhood. I don't know. I'll ask my therapist. I feel like I'm overly perceptive 100% of the time. Like, even as I'm speaking in an interview, I'm literally like, there's a lot of things to consider here. Like, don't get canceled. Say the right thing. Like, blah, blah, blah. Make sure you're using the right language. Like, I'm that way with humans. So I'm like, also somebody yelling at me and I'm like, oh, they probably got yelled at. Like, maybe it's not the right way to respond. I only really don't apply that when it's like inherently violent or like you just did some crazy fucked up shit. Like, it's different when someone's like, hey, fuck you, bro. Or like someone's like, yeah, suck all that shit up. Or like, I don't want to have the conversation right now. I'm like, oh, you're probably having a bad day. Like, you're probably having a bad day. You're probably been through something, or like somebody didn't allow you to be grateful and therefore you got hardened about that conversation. But I'm just in constant like inner child viewing of people, like, where did this come from? And like, I'm sitting here having a conversation with somebody and I'm like, oh, like, you probably just didn't know this yet. Or like, you haven't learned this, or like someone made you hate this. So it's just a constant, like,
damn,
you got to talk to people like kids. Cause we really are all just, or not talk to people like kids, but understand people like kids.
Yeah.
Cause we're, in comparison to society and the world, we're kids, we're babies. So we're all doing, I guess, playing with the hands that were dealt.
You're wise beyond your years.
Dang.
Absolutely.
Like, way wise beyond your years. You think it's from the just sheer amount of experience? I mean, essentially, I mean, jokes aside, I don't know.
No bullshit. Yeah.
I find, and he's the same way. It's probably why we're friends. I only fuck with people who've been through some shit. I can't relate to people who are perfect.
Cannot. I mean, it's funny because to be perceptive again, those people have also been through shit and they probably have some expected perfection thing that they do to themselves. I think through a lot of like therapy and reading a lot of like therapizing ass books, like I tend to therapize a lot of shit. So even those people that it's like, it seems like this, it isn't always like that. And the only people I have a real fucking problem with in that perfect realm is like the toxic positive or the toxic perfect
positive.
Those, like, are the ones I'm scared. That's what I was just talking about.
Yeah,
they're
like,
scary.
You could seem like it's you ain't Dylan. Never been through nothing
nah,
all your
Dylan.
Life.
It's Dylan.
Nah, he's
toxic positive. You're always so damn happy, Dylan.
we love always happy. But yeah, what I don't love is you're not allowed to be sad.
Correct.
Because look at all this shit. I'm like, bro, we exist. on earth in 2023, everybody got something that's like, this is crazy, right? Even if you're just being susceptible to all the fucking terrible energy that's going on in our world. Don't nobody have a reason to just be fucking 100% all the time. Like, let's be for real. Hmm. So let's, as long as we're being for real about it and we're encouraging, you know, feeling better in whatever way that looks like for somebody, as long as it's not hurting other people, facilitate it.
It's authenticity to yourself,
yeah,
at all times with a backbone of positivity.
Yeah. I don't want to like say we should just let people sit in their bullshit, because I think part of why we're here is to encourage each other to get back on their path when they fall off of it. But definitely a part of that, literal and integral part of that, is to hold that space and say, like, it's like when you vent to your friends, you have the one friend that's always like, hey, but look around, we're all so grateful. But yeah, you need the friend who goes, I hear you. That does suck. That doesn't feel so good. That does suck when that happens. You're right. I totally feel you. Let's change that. Mm. Let's move through it. You want to go take a walk? You want to go do this? Those are the kind of like thinking, or that's the kind of thinking that I feel like shapes how we are there for each other and like how people can actually get out of it. Because people want to be heard first. I used to be the friend that was like, look around. Like, everything's beautiful. You have no reason to feel sad. And I got chin checked one time by a friend who was like, bro, I really just wanted you to listen. And I was like, ah, okay.
Because you resorted to that like go-to answer to their situation, which is the sun is shining, you're breathing air right
now. And that comes from a trauma of me feeling like, damn, someone could hit rock bottom and I didn't help.
Mm.
That comes from me being like, I've lost friends to like deciding to leave. You know what I mean? So when someone expressed that to me in the past, my instant trauma response has been like, anything to make you feel better.
But it's difficult. It's never super simple, because what you're saying to them is also rooted in the supremest form of gratitude, which is be grateful with what you have, whatever that is. Yeah. And so, yo, helping other people, there is no right or wrong way to it. We all do the absolute best we can to help people. I'm approached with that opportunity every single day, and I'm so grateful for the ability to impact people's lives, whether it be mental health, substance abuse, whatever it is. And I'm only able to do the best that I can with it. I'm not perfect at it, but I try to do the best I can. You know, it's all you can do.
That's all we're here to do.
I want to ask one more thing.
Yeah.
Then we'll let you go. You used the term all your eggs in one basket earlier, which I assume is probably a large part of the reason of your success.
Thank you.
But your tattoos. You are tatted.
Hella.
I was doing some research on your Instagram. So many. You went all in.
Yeah. I was really young and I had a lot of friends with tattoo guns, and I got one and I was like, this looks fucking tight. And I just fucking kept going.
You never used the painkillers or got put to sleep? Because you know that's a...
Put to sleep?
You know that's a thing now?
Yeah, it's
you know
big.
What, though? I feel like I was actually watching a TikTok. I actually fuck with TikTok so much because I be learning so much shit on there. But an anesthesiologist was just saying, like, that's not healthy because of what's going into your blood while they're trying to, like... I don't know.
Really?
But also just like, I just feel like we should be saving the anesthesia for things that actually require... anesthesia.
Well, there's plenty of anesthesia.
But if y'all want to put me to sleep to remove some tattoos, I'm with it.
That painful?
So painful.
Worse?
My God.
Worse
than getting it? I'm currently getting my knuckles, like all of my knuckle tats removed. And when I tell you that shit feels like someone took like a burning hot sledgehammer and just started like cracking my knuckles. Oh my God.
You're like, you know what? I'll keep them. Fuck it.
Now, I found somewhere in downtown LA that like injects like lidocaine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it numbs the area.
So that, if I can put that on the painkiller scale.
That's cool. I think with tattoos, the people getting put to sleep is actually getting some pushback, because isn't part of like that mark on your body?
Yeah, come on, gangsta.
You gotta earn it.
Yeah, pussy smells like pussy.
No, but they're doing it because it makes it a more efficient process.
Of course.
Nobody can get through a full back piece in one day.
Yeah, but also like what I'm seeing is like people who just want to be tatted and don't really care about the tats, which is like, that's also fine. Like, I don't really give a fuck why you're tatted, because a lot of mine is bullshit too.
Right.
But like, damn, you got four people working on you right now while you're asleep, just covering the whole rest of your body. It's like, what about when you have kids one day and like you want to put like a little baby foot right there? Like your kid's name. It's like, you said, fuck it. You just did it all in 6 hours.
So you're saying like, look at it as like a cascading process.
I'm like, bro,
like,
save your space. As someone who's like really tatted, I really wish that when I was younger, I would have went slow and I would have taken my time. I would have way better art. I would have different art. I would probably still be I would be less tatted, but I would still have tattoos. Damn, but it would be different.
I never thought about that. That's so interesting because there's so many people right now that are doing it, and they're like, this is the best artist right now. Yeah, it's the best artist now. Yeah. So what is the best artist in 2034 look like?
Style always changes, right? That's everybody's into those little like fine line patchwork. Like you look like you got patches everywhere. Like people about to fucking love sleeves again in 3 years. They're going to wish you had a full sleeve. Like it. Art just changes. Like, also, there's all type of new technology and shit. Like, it's just getting better. It's like, I was getting tatted in fucking people's kitchens and garages
stick
and shit
and pokes
in Oakland.
Type shit.
Yeah. My knuckles are stick and poke.
Damn.
At the park.
Like, imagine you got your whole back done and
savage. Damn.
That's crazy. Imagine you got your whole back done and then you found out there was like 3D tattoos coming out like the next year or something.
Nah,
you
know what
it.
Pisses me off? They have that style that's like super personal, that's like looks like a literal child like just took a lead pencil and just like did ugly shit everywhere. I'm like, I get that. That's really fucking cool right now.
Yeah.
But like I don't know if this is going to be your aesthetic or even your personality in like 10 years.
Or 10 days.
That's how I feel about my face tattoos. I'm like...
Is there one right here?
There's one here.
Yeah, I thought I saw one.
There's one up here and there's one here. I've changed as a person and especially in like my levels of like how I appreciate feeling soft and like it leaks out into like my self-care and like how I look. And sometimes I'm like, no matter what the fuck I do, I look like I beat people up. Or I look like, or no matter what I do, like I want to put on a really nice dress and like feel like I'm like I buttered my skin all up and I feel all soft and I feel really feminine. And then I'm like, damn, I'm blasting.
No, you could never
pull blast off.
Cool.
But that's what I'm saying. Sometimes I don't want to look cool.
You want to look.
I want to look like real soft and like really not. I hate to say clean because I really don't like when people associate dirtiness with tattoos. Like I had to fight those dirty allegations for fucking years because I was one of the first like tatted young R&B girls.
Yeah.
And but there is like a like really like a fresh face, fresh everything that sometimes you don't get that shit when
but
you're covered
it's,
in
dude,
tattoos.
It's holistic. The whole vibe and what you have going on is clean as fuck. And
thank
you look great.
Thank
Kehlani,
you.
You can't
I
do
beat
any
the dirty allegations.
100%.
You beat the dirty allegations. Fantastic. Hey, this was great. This was great.
Thank you for having me. I was fucking scared.
So they told us that and we found out through a couple of our guests that we're like kind of, I guess we're intimidating. Like people are scared to come on here.
No, you know what it is? Is there
she's like, you're
is,
a bitch.
Nah,
you're
a fucking there is just an energy... I hate that I said energy so much, so corny, but there is a repertoire, I guess, of like cis male podcasts.
For sure. It's a meme.
That's like a lot of these fucking podcasts, a lot of these people need to be deplatformed off the strength that they're just spewing bullshit.
Yeah.
And I've seen clips, but that obviously I haven't seen enough like of the full ones. I'm probably gonna tap in after this because my best friend is like, they're great entrepreneurs. You learn a lot about business. Like my best friend loves y'all. Literally.
Thank you.
But I think it was just that. I have my own interview trauma. I have internet trauma. Like I have definitely like I didn't know how much you guys knew about me or just like what we'd be talking about. I'm like, I'm about to sit across from like, for lack of better words, two grown white dudes.
Doofuses. No.
For real. I didn't know what the levels of it was about to be, but I had a really great time.
Amazing.
A positive experience,
that makes me happy.
And we had like, I feel like really valuable conversations.
Yeah. People are going to love this episode.
Yeah.
Damn.
You absolutely crush it.
That's great.
I want to say thank you for trusting us.
No, I'm grateful. I'm happy.
Thank you.
I was like, are they going to troll me? I'm going to troll them back.
Hell yeah.
No,
this was great. If you guys don't follow Kehlani on Instagram and all of her social medias, it's just at Kehlani.
Literally.
Right?
Everywhere.
With an H. There's a hidden H in there. Why? What's up with the heart? She's going on tour.
Oh, the tour. Australia and Asia, right?
Australia and Asia. And then
when are you in Australia?
Possible added things. I'm in Australia. We start in a couple weeks, actually.
We'll be there in February.
I'll be in Asia in February.
All right. Never mind. It's fun while it lasted. Ladies and gentlemen. Kehlani, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Hit that subscribe button if you're not subscribed. We will see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.